Welcome to another session with the Market Dominance Guys, a program exploring all the high-stakes speed bumps and off-ramps of driving to the top of your market with our host, Chris Beal from Connect and Sell, and Corey Frank from Branch 49. Corey Frank and Chris Beal are once again joined by Fred Mondragon for this final segment from their visit. In the first two episodes with Fred, the guys covered the topic, the seductive shadow boxing of CRM data, fit versus intent. Then the other side was discussed in the next episode, intent, fit, and the future of sales intelligence. In this final segment, the trio explores how Rev's AI-powered platform is helping sales teams find the zipper in the weasel suit, as Chris puts it. Fred explains how Rev's special purpose AI leverages vast amounts of data to help reps identify and target their ideal customers, while Chris emphasizes the importance of engaging in trust-building conversations. Corey sees the immense potential of combining Rev's AI targeting with Connect and Sell's powerful sales acceleration tools to solve the challenge of, who do I go after next? Join us for this episode, Finding the Zipper, Helping Weasels Become Top-Performing Pigs.
I'll put you on the spot for a second, just even anecdotally, Fred, because when we talk about effectiveness, as a big dumb farm animal sales guy here, I'm thinking, wow, this is really, really cool. If I continue to do the status quo, I have X. If I measure four times and cut once, forget about the amplification of my activities through a connected cell, for instance, do you generally see from your clients that, hey, Chris and I talk oftentimes of the great Jerry Hill, right, has communicated this many times, right, Chris, is get rid of, what's the numbers, half of your sales team and double the sales of who's left, right, or whatever the math exactly
two-thirds,
is.
Two-thirds.
Two-thirds, even better. Okay, two-thirds, right? So get rid of two-thirds. Please don't write to us complaining. But two-thirds, and then you can double the sales of who's left. So when you look at the experience of Rev thus far, Fred, what are some of those success stories that you've seen, and how long does it generally take culturally to pervade through a sales organization? Because I have to go from focus on intent as the sexy thing to now fit.
That's great. So right away, when we're doing that demo I told you about, we show customers what comes out at the top of the list. Typically, there's an aha moment. They're like, oh, wait, that's one of our best customers. So our AI proves itself pretty immediately by saying, without you telling us, we found some of your best customers right there in the list that we're showing you, right? Automatically, right? And then culturally, I think reps, as a couple of success story examples, right? We work with a services company. It's a company that's written the book about sales success. You might be able to guess who it is, but they're using Rev. And we were recommended to them by their own PE firm. We have a number of private equity firms that use Rev to help make their portfolio companies more efficient, more effective, right? So anyway, they brought us to this company. They were using Rev, and Rev was saying, hey, look, we know your usual target market is big tech companies, right? But our engine is saying, hey, wait a minute, we're finding a lot of companies, B2B companies in the financial services that look like they're a really good fit. They're five-star targets. And this company's like, yeah, but we don't have any marketing materials for that market. We don't typically sell to them, et cetera. Like, and finally, one of the reps, a junior rep, a woman called into one of her five-star targets that we found in the financial industry. She sold a $300,000 deal within 3 months, right? And everybody kind of looked around and said, whoa, where did that come from, right? And so then they said, well, let's put a few materials together and we'll go after some of these Rev accounts that we found, these high-score targets. And lo and behold, it's now become one of their biggest, fastest growing industries. They've put some now marketing materials behind it. And guess what? It was an underserved industry. All the companies in their sales advisory targeting space were going after big B2B tech because that's where they've had customers. It turns out that a lot of big B2B financial companies sell to businesses, insurance companies, banks, they actually sell to businesses too, right? And nobody ever calls on them to teach them how to sell. Right. And so they found a whole new market and a whole set of high fit targets that they were not even aware was there. So that's an example that happened within, I don't know, 4 to 6 months. And it's all because a creative kind of open-minded newer rep said, this is what I got. I'm going to go after these high fit targets. Mm-hmm. And you get some wins like that, some success stories. So,
and I would bet, Fred, too, that Chris, with a weapon like this is that it could take a snapshot and analyze, as you had said earlier, Fred, of who I already have in my pipeline. If I'm a VP of sales, if I'm a CRO, and I think, and I'm about to go to the board meeting and say, I think 2 million of this will close amongst these 42 deals. If I ran a quick rev snapshot, I would probably realize, well, what that sweet spot is that most of these aren't really a fit. They're just at top of funnel, and that's where they're going to say. Is that a fair statement?
I'm amazed at your prescience here, Corey, if I can use that word. We call this exercise you just talked about checking your aim. AI matching, but it's also aim. Are you on target, right? And so basically we can, using the artificial intelligence customer profile, the AICP in the system, we can use a list. We can import your list of your pipeline and basically score it and say, you know, of the pipeline you have today, what is the aim? How close is it to your ideal customers? And these are the ones that are low fit and these are the ones that are high fit. And then over time, as people start using Rev in their marketing, in their selling efforts, they start to see their aim in their pipeline go up and up and up. And so the velocity is faster of the close of sales. The deals are getting bigger because the fit in their pipeline is better because they're going after the right targets in the first place. Mm-hmm. If you're going after a bad list in the first place, and I hate to call it a list, it's really segmentation and analysis. It's much more strategic than just a list, right? This is, you know, like the example I gave you. If you find a whole new ideal fit market, that's much more strategic than just, oh, I just want to generate a list. You know what I mean? It's company strategy.
Well, I love that. And I'm no marketer, but to the marketing team at Rev, checking your aim, there's something that maybe we use internally here, feel free to use, is we call it doping your scope. If there is a sniper, you're a Navy SEAL, you're a long range, Chris and I have talked about this a couple of times, dope your scope, right? If you have a rifle and you have a scope, data on previous engagement is that's dope. And I need to track windage, I need to track curvature of the earth, if it's far enough away, all that. So, but I love that concept. We've talked about that early in some of the episodes, Chris, this concept of being able to look at my current pipeline and try to be able to better predict the future, especially between, right? All of us have always stepped in front of the board meetings and says, okay, they're going to ask the question. So Fred, so Chris, how are we going to do this quarter? And you can't sandbag and you can't miss and you got to kind of be kind of close a little bit. And you're going to your sales leaders, frontline sales leaders says, hey, is Corey going to bring this deal in? What do you think? Well, he put it at 75%, boss. So I'd give it a good shot. And there's no objectivity in there. So I love that. I love that application, that use case.
Yeah. One other cool thing about this is that since we've already done all this research at scale, like read all the bios, read all the job descriptions and the company websites, it's already in our system. So to get these highly targeted markets and segments all defined with the TAM and everything, it's overnight. We can do it really fast and we give you an expert services person who really knows how to do it. We train you. You can do it yourself if you want, but we can do it for you. But my point is, this helps make companies very agile, right? As they're thinking about targeting new markets, if they make an acquisition and they have a new product they need to go out and sell, which of their existing clients should they sell to? Well, we help you identify exactly which ones have the right fit for that new product. Because it's different. The fit is different from your old product, right? But some of your customers are going to close quicker than others, right?
Sure.
And then, yeah.
Sure.
And so we help do all this in minutes, right? Because the data is already there. All you need to do is feed it a few example, best customer examples, some custom lenses, and boom, you've got a whole strategy and a whole TAM prioritized to go after instantly. That's why the private equity firms like us so much. And other clients of ours, like, you know, Deloitte and others, right? They see this as the ability to make their clients or their portfolio companies more agile and quick in finding the right targets because it's already there. Just like Google, you don't have to load a bunch of data into Google. You just do a search, right? We already have all that data. And so it makes everybody more nimble.
For sure.
But Corey, as you know, we advocate centralized list management unless you want your reps to own your strategy. And we think folks who turn their strategy over to their reps, frankly, shouldn't go to board meetings. Just send your reps. I mean, you decided that they are better at your strategy than you are. So just send them in and let them, you know, make up whatever they want to make up about what's going to happen in the company. Really, the key to agility is you got to know who to target. Perfect. Rev will tell you who. Then you have to actually action that. And Helen went through something recently at the company she was working at, where there was a big pivot up market. Now, the pivot up market is a firmographic pivot. It's just an upmarket pivot. It's got some industries, it's got some company size, nothing below this size, et cetera. We ran a test drive there, and we would have been better off with Reb, by the way, is let's go find the right companies to talk to. We went at the level of finding companies that have already hired people who describe themselves as solving the problem that Helen's company solved. Because in folks' job descriptions that they put out on LinkedIn, their job profiles, they were literally advertising, I solve this problem. There is a job to be done. I do that job. The evidence is strong that somebody's paying their salary because they're working at that company. Therefore, that company wants to solve that problem. Therefore, you could go target him. It was a single vector approach, but it was an interesting vector. It wasn't a horrible vector, and it's a vector most folks don't use. I'll call it a hidden vector approach, right? You could do it manually, but as long as you had all the LinkedIn job profiles, which we happen to have. We got 55 million of them, which is enough to kind of get you going. Rev is taking it to the next level. They suck all those in, combine it with everything else, including what companies say about themselves, what others say about them, what's in their annual report, their quarterly earnings calls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like the advanced version of this. But to action it, in my view, if you want to dominate markets, you've got to control your strategy. And the way you control your strategy is you take this kind of input and you go, okay, now I'm going to make it actionable. And that means it's a list. And you turn it into a list. It's a list of companies. And this is like, go back to the first episodes of Market Dominance, guys. What did we really say? A market is always a list. Ultimately, Geoffrey Moore taught us this. Until you've reduced your market to a list of companies, you have nothing. You're just lying to yourself and telling stories. And until you reduce that list of companies to a list of people that you think it might make sense, hypothetically make sense to talk to in those companies, then you're just kind of dreaming. You turn it into people. Until you talk to them, you don't have enough information going back and forth to evaluate your list and feed that back into your list making process and look at both the present and the future so you can decide who's worth investing in over time. You put all that together and you actually have got a legitimate sort of can't fail market dominance engine. There aren't other pieces. All of this email sequencing is not one of the pieces. That's what I would call a sub-tactic. Mm-hmm. It's barely there. And yet those are featured elements of the stack, right? Oh, my stack's got this intent thing and this email thing and so forth. The stack to really work has got to allow you to target with precision and move with agility. And you've got to do both of them. You target with precision, but you give it to your reps. You're relying on some cultural miracle to happen where that great rep goes and does something new. People don't like new things, right? There's a recommendation from a big scientific study that says we should do more new things if you want to be happy. It's called dishabituation. It has so many syllables, you got to believe it, right? It must have come out of really good research. But companies need to get into doing what they did yesterday a lot, but they got to find a new what you're going to do tomorrow that's worth investing in. And you've got to get that feedback, not 6 months from now. It used to be you could get it 6 months from now. Now you got to get it today because you're running out of money. Whoever you are, you're starving to death right now. And there's urgency.
We'll be back in a moment after a quick break.
Selling a big idea to a skeptical customer, investor, or partner is one of the hardest jobs in business. So when it's time to really go big, you need to use an uncommon methodology to gain attention, frame your thoughts, and employ a successful sequencing that is fresh enough to convince others that your ideas will truly change their world. From crafting just the right cold call screenplays to curating and mapping the ideal call list for your entire TAM, Branch 49's modern and innovative sales toolbox offers a guiding hand to ambitious organizations in their quest to reach market dominance. Learn more at branch49.com. And we're back with Corey, Chris, and Fred.
So, I mean, I think what Rev does, you combine that on the people side with what Rightbound does. You combine that on the let's talk to him with what we do. You want to make sure you've got the best people doing it. You go to Branch 49, right? You do those things. We're talking about what? One day for rev, one day for the list build, one day, if you have some calibrated reps like Corey has, for a market of 10,000, you're at statistical significance with regard to the response to the conversations. 15 minutes for message development, unless you want to make it a committee exercise with a whole bunch of people and you're not trying to win, you're just trying to screw around. Or unless you're really serious, like Corey's team is about screenplays, they require more work, right? But if you're just trying to go, I want to go dominate this market, how many days from when I say I'm curious about it to when I'm doing it sufficiently to tell me whether I should keep doing it, making it my tomorrow? 3 days, 4 days should be enough. A week at the outside. And that changes everything.
Yeah, these are important decisions. And that's why I think we see the advent of the RevOps function, right? You used to have sales ops people. Now you have these more strategic RevOps people that cross the boundaries in an organization to make sure people are on the same page, right? And acting in unison and picking the best practices, the best tools for the job, right? Like Connect and Sell and Rev and some of the others you mentioned. If you get the right things in place, then you're more efficient overall. And it is essential. Most of our clients are RevOps functions, and they don't want to just leave it to the reps to go figure it out, right? They want to analyze, get the right targets in place, use a really powerful AI GTM targeting tool like Rev, and then get the targets deployed in the right way, right, to the sales team. But also using solutions like Connect and Sell to make things more efficient as well, and give everybody the best chance of finding the right targets and getting the biggest deals and getting them off the street. So it's a very strategic operation, and definitely RevOps is the best fit for us. And then it turns out that private equity firms have these value creation teams. How do we make our portfolio companies as successful and efficient as possible, driving up the market cap, right? And so targeting and getting the teams efficient, as you know, that's what they do, right? That's really important. The other thing I'll mention is that, again, because we have all the data in our platform already, it's really easy for us to do a POC. Basically, just give us 10 best client examples and a few things you know that make a best fit. We can show people a demo the very next day with their own data right in the platform, because it's already in the platform. We just feed it the right seeds and boom, does this look like your best clients? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So it's really easy to show how it works.
Last point, and then we'll end this incredible episode of the Market Dominance Guys here. Chris, I'd love you to chime in on this too, is I'm thinking from a sales leadership perspective, Fred and Chris, is that there's an old concept that Chris talked about probably 20 years ago about pigs and weasels. And I'll let Chris talk a little bit about it, but I would see, Chris, that in essence, the better, more finely tuned this operation goes, the more that, and we talk about the theory of constraints a lot on this podcast here, Fred, as a former Sun and Oracle guy, I'm sure it's near and dear to your heart, is that we thought the constraint was MQLs, or we thought the constraint was if we can identify more people in our fit or even in our intent channel, but now it's our fit channel, then all my problems are going to go away and my average sales quota will go from 60% to 92% because they have this. And first of all, I'll turn over to Chris first and then hear from you, Fred, about Chris, what probably is going to happen in that situation? I take away that constraint on what I'm thinking is intent, move it to fit. And now I have a whole bunch of reps who are, I'm out of excuses to a large degree, I would say, correct?
Yeah, well, you know, you always have a mix of pigs and weasels if you have a normal kind of sales team, right? So pigs are hungry for the next conversation. They know that they've got to eat a lot of conversations before they get a good meal. And so they're hungry for the next one, no matter what the last one tasted like. But giving pigs tastier conversations is good for the company because they eat them up. Now, not all pigs are great salespeople. They're just hungry for the interaction, for the conversations. The other group, we call them weasels. They're trying to weasel out of the conversational element. But if you give them better food, then you don't have to worry about the bad meal or the bad bite as much. I mean, there's degrees of weaseldom. And so it's kind of funny. I'm just thinking about this, that if you're going after high fit targets, and your messaging is appropriately tuned, because fit and messaging go together, because messaging is essentially the virtual or conversational representation of your product. Like, what do you say, right? What do you say that allows somebody and you to make a decision? Should we move to some next step together? That's the whole purpose of it. If you get that tight enough together, it is conceivable that a miracle could happen, which is that a weasel could find the zipper and unzip the weasel suit and reveal the pig within. And that is magical when that happens, because then the other weasels start to go, hey, wait, that's a success model for me. I could actually go in that direction. None of us like rejection. All of us love to make excuses. Great salespeople stomach rejection and kind of they abjure excuses. They just don't make them, even though they'd love to make them, right? They hate to be rejected, but they accept it. They'd love to make excuses, but they won't. That's kind of what makes a great salesperson. And then they keep on going through all the rejection and they keep not making the excuses. Taking away the reason for the excuses lowers the excuse temperature across an organization and might be the ultimate down funnel lubricant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you nailed it when you said that intent's going to come in and you need to check intent, right? Because there could be some good fits in there, but some of them might not be a good fit. And a good rep is going to know the difference, right? Pretty quickly. Like, is this a fit or not, right? But what we hear quite often with large sales organizations or even medium or small is that what's coming out of intent is useful, but it's never enough to fill the bucket of what you need to call, of the deals you need to close, right? You always need to be doing some outbound to find more. You can't just rely on the stream of intent. It's not enough, right? And so then what do? Well, then you want to go after the ones that are next most likely to show intent, which are the high fit. And then you need to go create the intent, ideally in companies that are most receptive to your message, which are the high fit companies, right? So anyway, I think that we're providing the next companies, the pre-intent companies that are going to convert to intent companies easiest, is I guess what I would say. If you have a list in your territory of 1,000 accounts, maybe only 50 of them at a time are showing intent, then you can go target the next 50 that are not yet showing intent, but they're still very high fit, right? And then they're going to be receptive to those messages that you were talking about, right? What are your marketing messages? And because they have all the elements in place, the right people, the right situation, to love your solution naturally, you're going to get a higher hit rate.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, I do know, Chris, we've had many, many guests on the Market Dominance Guys in these last 4 or 5 plus years or so. And Fred is definitely somebody we need to have back. I think that there is a really interesting exponential opportunity between certainly agencies like ours at Branch 49, and certainly leveraging the power of a connect and sell weapon with that measure four times, cut once approach, Fred, is curating, harvesting from the shavings, make the pile, right? And that approach, I think, to building your market up is very attractive. It's the new modern form of prospecting. And if you're cold calling without a variety of these opportunities or these weapons available in the marketplace, right bound, connect and sell, Rev, man, you're just making it tough on yourself. Final thoughts, Chris, with our good new best friend, Fred.
Well, there's a huge amount of yapping out there about AI, right? Which is some people think is hype. I think it's actually underhyped. But I also think in the world of sales and marketing, sales especially, for AI to be super effective, impactful, and potentially dominant or a means of dominance for a company, it has actually got to be applied in a concentrated way. So this notion of co-pilots, for instance, nobody's going to dominate a market because they gave their people co-pilots. No amount of co-piloting is going to really make any difference. Come right down to it, it might allow somebody to have a little more time to pet their dog or something, but that's about it. You've got to get to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is, who does your solution, your capability make the biggest difference for? And can you have trust-building conversations with enough of those folks to seal the market off against your competitors? If you can do those things, that's amazing. What Rev is doing is applying AI to the real problem. The real problem is, well, who should you be talking to? I mean, it's like you're going to make an investment. It's going to be finite. Therefore, you have an allocation problem. This is what we're supposed to be trained to do as managers and executives is allocate resources. What resource are you going to allocate? You're going to allocate the go-to-market resource. That's set, right? So your ability to allocate accurately, which is a form of prediction, is crucial. Your rep's ability to send an email that isn't as horribly written as their usual one in a little bit less time, it's not.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
I think what we're talking about here is special purpose AI. If you look at the image creation AI, that's a special purpose thing. If you look at the document writing AI, that's a special purpose thing. Think of Rev as just another example of a special purpose AI that uses the same large language model underpinnings, that uses the same natural language processing, that uses the same open AI for chat input of custom lenses. All that's in our platform. But it's special purpose designed for solving this challenge of who do I go after next, right? And so we're just one of probably numerous AI solutions that are going to come out. But we've been working on this for 9-10 years, right? So we have a lot of experience, 6 data scientists, and we really appreciate your time in inviting us here because you need thought leaders like you guys to get the word out because nobody has AI targeting in their budget, right? So they need to understand what it is, what it can do. And thank you for helping to get the word out and being forward thinking about this stuff.
Absolutely. Well, it's what we do at the Market Dominance Guys. And we're thrilled to have you and get to know you and have you in our ecosystem of trusted partners and valuable vendors. So with Chris Beal, the Sage of Sales, the Prophet of Profit, and the Hawking of Hawking, and our special guest, Fred Mondragon from GetRev.ai. This is Corey Frank from the Market Dominance Guys. Until next time.
Connect and Sell, welcome to the end of dialing as you know it. Give your fingers a rest with Connect and Sell's patented technology. You'll load your best sales folks up with 8 to 10 times more live qualified conversations every day. And when we say qualified, we're talking about really qualified, like knowing how many tears they shed while watching the end of Toy Story, kind of qualified. Learn more at connectandsell.com. Never miss an episode. Go to any of your favorite podcast venues and search for Market Dominance Guys, or go to marketdominanceguys.com and subscribe.